You guys can go ahead and start turning to Galatians 6 if you'd like this morning. If you don't have your own Bible with you, that's all right. We have verses on the screen, so you can follow along at any point. So I'm sure you guys noticed the stage. Many thanks to those who came out and decorated for Christmas. I'll say it was just amazing to see everything happen so quickly. God's blessed us with a wonderful building, and it looks so great, and it's definitely getting to be that time of year where we start getting prepared for Christmas, and it's a great time of year to reflect on Jesus and how he came as a human. And that's one of the things with the Chosen series that we certainly recognize there as well, is that Jesus came as human. And it makes you reflect and think about how things were for him. He was fully man, but fully God. And it's just a great way to think about that and think about what might be coming up for Christmas. And I'm excited to serve with so many of you here that hear from God on a regular basis and listen to what he wants you to do as you serve others. This is Christmas time is a time of year where you think of so many people serving, you think of so many people giving, and thinking of others beyond themselves. And I'm not just talking about how you serve each other here at the church, which, yes, if you would like to help more at the church, I will not turn you down. Feel free to hit us up. There's a number of places you can serve. But I hear of what you guys are doing out and amongst everybody else, out amongst the believers, out amongst the non-believers, helping your neighbors, helping others in need, how you fill your week, what you occupy your time with. And with that, there's plenty of opportunities there to spread yourself thin. I thank God that I have a wonderful wife that warns me when I start overcommitting. Because I have a tendency to start overcommitting, saying yes to stuff that I really don't have time to say yes to. Not small tasks either that are just, oh, hey, can you help me pick something up and put it in the bed of a truck? So it's great to realize when we're starting to get ourselves too thin, when we start getting ourselves run down a little bit. And I'm not going to talk about a works mentality today. James makes it obvious, though, that with your faith, you're going to do stuff. By your faith, you're going to show it outwardly through your works. But we've got to watch out that they don't wear us out. In Galatians 6, starting verse 7, Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows with his, to his flesh will reap of the flesh, corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us all do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So, of course, like I said, God expects us, and he's called us to do works. He's called us to do things, whatever that may be different for a lot of you. And with us starting to do those, one of the first things the enemy is going to start coming in and trying to do is tell you that you're getting tired. You're doing all this stuff, and it's not going to last. You've done enough. Just rest. But Paul encourages us, not just here, but multiple times, to do two different churches. First one in Galatia. The second one is in to the church of Thessalonica. So in Second Thessalonians 3:13, he says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." It's almost exact same verbiage as what Paul had used to in Galatians. Paul knows that quitting is not an option. He's encouraged people in his letters to fight the good fight, to finish the race. And there are going to be times and seasons where we may just go, 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 where it's one thing after another. And for us, the stretch of October through January seems like exactly that sometimes. I would say you're going from family gatherings to church gatherings to school events. You start getting drained if you're not careful. And each of those gatherings is not just an accident either. It's not just by happenstance. There's a purpose for each one of those gatherings. There may be somebody that God wants you to interact with during each one of those gatherings. You may just be a little bit of holiday cheer that they wouldn't have otherwise had. It's a divine encounter. But giving up isn't in the plan, you know? Did you realize that when you grow weary, it can wear off on others? In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8, says, "The officers shall speak further to the people and say, 'What man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart.'" We affect more than just ourselves when we start to grow weary or faint-hearted. Some of the other translations use the word discouraged in place of weary or faint-hearted. When we start getting discouraged, it discourages others. We've got to be mindful of what comes out of our mouths. I'll say it's a joy to serve God. I'll say we've all heard it said before, we weren't baptized in pickle juice. So if we walk around with a sour look on our face, or we walk around with a bad outlook, that'll wear off on others as well. Doing good is a non-negotiable when it comes to a believer. We do good even when we've been wronged. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." Here we see both comforting the faint-hearted, comforting those who are starting to get weary, but also never to return evil for evil, to always be trying to go about good. In Romans 12:21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Good will always win out over evil. And it's easy to see with everything going on that sometimes it'd just be nice to just give into our flesh and do what's not right. But God's called us to be gentle and to repay evil with good. Jesus himself says in Luke 6, verse 27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." And again in verse 33, "And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same." So it's not just be nice to those who are nice to you. No, it's even if somebody's frustrated you, you still want to help them. You still want to encourage them. You still want to give them hope. And forgiveness is important with this. I'll say, God's told us we need to forgive others. But without forgiving others, if you leave that unchecked, it can lead to bitterness. And that bitterness, then you just want to hang on to it. I'll say places in the Bible refer to a root of bitterness. And when you think about roots, they do go deep and they sink in. And then it's hard to get those roots out. Doing good to those who have wronged us is exactly what God's called us to do. Okay, so we know doing good should be a regular part of our walk. And we've been warned about getting weary and the dangers of being weary having an effect on others. So how do you keep from getting weary? A couple of points here. The first one is ask yourself if what you are doing included God with the decision. So if you ask yourself if you included God in your decision that you made, this is an easy one that you often will catch yourself on. It seems like you may have seemed like you had good intentions. The very act of what you were doing may have seemed like a good thing to do. But if it's not what God called us to do for that time, then you can give way to weariness because you're not operating how God wanted you to operate there. One thing that I've figured out too is that sometimes just because somebody, or sometimes the person who God gave the idea for a particular ministry or gave the idea for doing something, they are going to be the ones that have the anointing. They're going to be the ones who have the heart for that ministry, have the heart to reach that particular people group, the heart to reach that particular person that they're thinking of. So if I try to pick up that ball and run with it, I'm not going to be flowing out of the anointing. I'm not going to be going the way that God wanted me to go. And the other person will miss out on the ability to be strengthened, seeing God use them as well. Because it's a burden that I was never meant to carry in the first place. Sometimes we can grow weary because we're doing something out of routine, or expect that because God had us do something a certain way before, that He'll want us to continue to do it now. I'll say last year we had that exact thing. Ashley and I were in here for National Collection Week where we were collecting shoeboxes. Well, we were hoping to collect shoeboxes, let me put it that way. And we were sitting here, and I think I was up on the stage doing something, and Ashley was down here sitting at the table for if anybody came in the door. And she goes, God, what are we doing here? You know what God's response was? What are you doing here? See, we thought we knew what we were doing because we set our hours months in advance, and we tried to base it off of what we thought would work. It was a Saturday, so it was not a day that a lot of boxes usually came in, but we didn't ask God, okay, what do you want those hours to be that day? So instead, we sat here for 2 hours, maybe it was three, I don't remember how many we set that day, and we had nobody show up. Things go slow when nobody shows up. But that's exactly how you can catch yourself being weary, is when you don't pursue God and what He wanted for that. One of the other things to watch out for when weariness starts to present itself is what the motivation to do that good work was. Is it somehow you were wanting recognition for it? Sure, sometimes it might be a good work you're doing, not a bad thing to do, but if you're looking for it to get recognized and not give God the glory, it's not going to be something that God's going to sustain you through. I'll say, I try to do it the other way around. I try to stay in the background and try to stay out of the spotlight, try to stay out of up front. And I'll say, naturally, Ashley and I both are that way, where we just kind of do things behind the scenes. And I'll say, when I first started, the sound booth was up there, so it was completely out of sight, out of mind. Even had to take a back hallway and stairs to get up there. We come in on the weekend or come in during the week and do things after hours, not really anybody seeing it. But God showed us that He wanted us to do other things. If we had tried to continue to do that without hearing God and obeying His voice, we would have started to become weary as well. Even though we were serving, doing things that we knew needed done, we would have started to become weary. So the second point for when you start to feel weary is run to the Father. When you feel that weariness starting to set in, or you start wondering, run to the Father. That's one of the great things about the gospel. It's one of the great things that encourage us. Jesus' death and resurrection didn't just give us the ability to go to heaven. There's so much more. Holy Spirit didn't come just to reveal Scripture to us. We're able to overcome weariness because of it. Holy Spirit's able to renew us like only He can do. Isaiah understood the nature of God and His power over weariness in Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, we can run to God, and He will renew us. Jesus is the answer. Spend time with Him. Tell Him where you are. Ask Him to fill you up again. Jesus completely understands. Also, as I said before, He came to us fully man. He had a body just like us. He spent time on this earth, going around to place and place, doing good. He knows the need to get strengthened daily. I'll say He constantly escaped to the garden to go pray. He escaped to go spend time with the Father, to get renewed, so He didn't grow weary. He endured everything with His earthly body while He was here. Hebrews 12, verse 3, "For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Jesus is no stranger to what we might be facing. He's no stranger to seeing us grow weary. We can draw our strength from Him and let Him do what He does. Although we may grow weary, He never will. Third thing you can do is lean on God's word. God's word is true. Every bit of it, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, God's word is true. We can read it and find promises that he's made to us. I've said it before, a promise is only as good as the person making the promise. So when God himself is the one making the promise, it's pretty safe to say that he's going to be the one to honor it. We can open up our Bible and see when God tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So even though we're always to be abounding in the work of the Lord, God's promising us their labor will not be in vain. When we open up our Bibles, the Holy Spirit will show us stuff and encourage us. One thing you can always do, and this works, is personalize God's word for you. So that passage we just read, instead of reading it generally, as a general statement to the church as a whole, make it personal. "But thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved John, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that my labor is not in vain in the Lord." Personalizing it makes us realize every bit his word is for us. His word is for each of us individually, personally. You can take the scripture into prayer with you even and talk to God about it. Let him show you things that you may not have ever seen before. He may give you revelation on something that you've read many times, but it comforts you this time instead of giving you instruction. And that calmness and peace that he gives you will strengthen and keep you from growing weary. And finally, trust in God's timing. This is a big one. Because God's timing is perfect. God's timing is good, even when we want it to happen faster. God is always on time. Seldom early, but he's never late. Our plans sometimes are not his plans. So our timing is sometimes not going to be his timing. In Galatians 6:9, where it said, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." This is one of the great things about Scripture, guys. Sometimes just certain aspects of a verse, depending on how you put the emphasis, shows you the depth of God's word. So in due season, in this case, let's talk about timing. We need to wait until the work that we did reaches its appropriate time, trusting in his timing. You know, many of Jesus' parables dealt with seeds. In the last couple of years, we've tried planting a garden ourselves. And we use seeds. We don't mess with potted plants and then plant them. We plant everything from seeds. And so the girls, though, they love watermelon. So, yes, I know Mick loves his watermelon, too. I've heard stories. But so they love watermelon. So, of course, the first row of the garden is nothing but watermelon. Those are probably the first seeds that went in the ground. And then we planted all the others. We have planted carrots and lettuce and cucumbers and melons. And one thing with seeds is process has to go the way the process goes. So the seeds are usually really hard shells. And you put them in the ground. You till up the ground first. You make a little hole. Put the seed in the ground. Cover it back up. Give it some water. Then you wait for that to happen. But we can't see what's going on under the soil. We can't see what's actually happening while we're waiting. From above ground, it doesn't look like anything. But down under the ground, we see how God's infinite wisdom is happening. So those seeds, what's happening under the ground there, it starts to swell until that seed bursts forth. And then the moisture gets to what's inside. And then it starts coming out of the ground. The heat from the sun starts heating it up, gets it just the right temperature, and then it sprouts. And you start seeing different things sprout in different orders. So even though we planted all these in a certain arrangement, first we see the radishes start coming up, then the cucumbers. But what about those watermelons? But you gotta watch and wait and watch and wait. And eventually you see those little sprouts come up and the two leaves come out. And we know exactly what they are. And that's like the work that we do sometimes. We plant the seeds. We tilled up the ground. We watered it. You don't get that instant gratification that today's society we like to see. So we have to wait for God's timing for it to come forth. Some things we may never see on this side of eternity. People that we had a brief encounter with, we may never know how much it touched their lives until we're on the other side of glory. When we focus on the timing, we ignore the process that God is doing under the surface. I mentioned it last week with us trying for Gracie. And one of the things that God had shown us was that we were going to have Gracie naturally. That was also one of the harder parts to deal with because that meant we had to wait and wait and wait so many times. We had to trust in his timing. Even before we ever saw a specialist, we had been trying for a while. Then after we saw the specialist, it was even longer. But we heard God clearly. And we waited on his timing. We didn't know how long we were going to have to wait. Personally, we would have loved to have the girls closer together. It was our desire for it to happen sooner. But God was doing something in the meantime. And I remember one night we were praying, and it was after we realized that we were consumed by the desire to have another child. I mean, literally, it was most of the time that was what our prayers were for. We had so many people pray for us. I'll say Nancy, the first time she was here, we had her praying for us. Some of the others, John Shiver, Bill Foy, some of the early ones that Pastor Rick had brought in as guest speakers here. And we had them praying for us. We had We were just consumed by it. And it was one night when we truly realized that we were consumed by it. And we were praying that, God, it's in your hands. Whatever it is, we give it over to you. Let him do it whenever and however he wanted. And it was that very thing when we had the breakthrough. That very month was when we conceived. When we stopped just letting it consume us. I mean, it almost crippled us at times. That was all we could do. But his timing was purposeful because it brought us to a point that we would have never been otherwise. He was able to show us things that we never would have learned had it happened quicker, had it never happened earlier. And if we went around the room, I'm sure that many of you guys would have stories that talk about God's timing. Things that may have happened later than you wanted. Or even if the timing was sooner than you expected, what you originally thought and what you had planned as well, that you thought there was no way you'd be ready for it yet. But God shows you, no, this is my timing. That's usually after the fact when you realize, though, that it's God's timing. But when you're going through it, you realize that there's so much growth while you're looking at the timing. Embracing and trusting in God's plan for what he wants to happen, when he wants it to happen, brings breakthrough for us spiritually. That breakthrough strengthens us. It renews us in the spirit. The doing good that Paul warned us about is not coming to church on Sunday. Actually, Sundays usually are going to have the opposite effect on us. Sundays are usually going to strengthen us. They're usually going to, how does the Proverbs say it? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So coming on Sundays is usually going to have the opposite effect. The doing good is what happens throughout the week. When you're just pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. It's what you do in private. It's the everyday tasks that you may do. It's the slow and steady work. The things that you don't realize how gradually it does start making you weary. So we can avoid being weary when we recognize that God has us in a position for a purpose according to his plan. And that's if we never give up, we can lean on him, endure through faith, and position ourselves for victory. God never intended us to become weary. He intended us to have fellowship with him. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for the encouragement that we are to each other. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that your word is to us, God. Lord, we thank you for recognizing when we start to become weary, Lord. We thank you that you've put that alert in our spirit, God. We thank you that you are good, that you never leave us orphans, that you always answer us, God, that you will strengthen us, Lord, that you will rise us up on the wings with the eagles, Lord. Lord, there is no lack in your kingdom. There is no lack in your promises. Lord, we thank you that your promises are yes and amen. Lord, we praise you for your spirit. We thank you for having your spirit right here in us, Lord. We thank you for giving us the courage and the boldness to do the work and giving us the opportunity to get the rest in you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Lord, we speak blessings on each other, Lord. We speak blessings on our brothers and sisters as they go throughout the week. Lord, our prayer is they do not become weary. Lord, let us be an encouragement to them. Let them be an encouragement to us. Lord, it's all for your glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.